conversation with my colleague Jonathan Schenzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's helping me understand contradictory reports, not purposeful, but different voices. We've dealt with Sinwar, who's on the run, surrounded by hostages, now the autocrat of Hamas. But in Tehran, that's where the threat was made, by the Ayatollah, on purpose, over the corpse of a man who was part of the mass murder of October 7th, Haniyeh. Now the Ayatollah's made this threat. We have odd remarks from somewhere, it doesn't say where, that Iran may withhold or call off or postpone, fill in the blank, the attack directly on Israel if, and then the word ceasefire is mentioned. Jonathan, what does it mean?
Well, we're actually not quite sure, and I'm not sure that the Iranians know what it means. They have been threatened by the United States. They have been cajoled and pushed and begged in no particular order to get back to the negotiating table to try to reach some kind of maybe a new arrangement in the Middle East after 10 months of fighting. I get the sense that Iran doesn't feel particularly weak right now. I think they get the sense that they are pushing Israel into a war of attrition. They've got the U.S. In a very reticent place, a very fearful place. And so from my vantage point right now, Iran looks like either it's not sure what it wants to do or that it's toying with the United States and Israel. The Israelis are on high alert. Nerves are frayed right now in Israel. Every day there has been warnings of an imminent attack by Iran, perhaps flooding Israeli airspace with drones and rockets. So the Israeli populace, their nerves are frayed. The Israeli leadership, their nerves are frayed. So I don't see any reason why Iran would want to stop making these threats. At minimum, they are winning a battle in the psychological domain, and they don't need to make a decision anytime soon. The big difference would be if the U.S. or Israel announced that they would be making a preemptive strike and that Iran needed to come to the table immediately to try to negotiate an end to this regional war that it started on October 7th. But we are not seeing the Israelis get a green light for a preemptive strike. My understanding is the U.S. has prohibited that up until now, and the U.S. itself is waiting with bated breath, watching to see whether Iran begins to fire. There, I think we're going to see defensive measures taken, you know, missile defense primarily, the shooting down of drones and rockets like we saw in mid-April when the Iranians launched 300 to 400 rockets and drones and missiles at Israel. That's likely what we would see again. The real question is, can Iran saturate Israel's skies and would more get through?
The Prime Minister of Great Britain, Keir Starmer, has called Iran, urging them not to launch an attack on Israel. I can presume other leaders of Europe are calling. Is Iran listening? Does Iran have any sense of what that means for its future? For Europe to turn sharply on Iran would be a major development, Jonathan. Europe has been mixed messages about Iran for some time. Now, if they launch the attack, have they lost Europe?
Well, that's the big question. I think, you know, maybe there is a world in which Iran believes that it can extract additional concessions, whether we can have a return to something like the JCPOA or even the interim agreement before that, where they are literally paid off to not engage in malign activity. I am sure that the Iranians believe that there are benefits that they can extract from the Western alliance right now if they would only stand down. And I would expect that the Brits are probably thinking along those lines right now. It is appeasement. It is not advisable, to put it mildly, for the West to be engaging with the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism in this way. If they choose to spurn the West, then comes the question of whether the Brits, the U.S., the French, and others swing into action and not just shoot down missiles and drones, but whether they take additional measures that could imperil the Islamic Republic. I don't believe that the Iranians feel that they are imperiled in any significant way right now. And so I think they are playing with house money, as we would say. They think that they may be able to get financial benefits from the West, and they are waging this psychological campaign against Israel. And if need be, they can sit out a round and they can let Hezbollah and the Houthis and Hamas fire on Israel, and they can claim, try to claim plausible deniability. And that's, I think, they really do seem like they're holding a lot of the cards. What needs to happen right now is for Israel, the U.S., and the West to begin to turn up the heat on the Iranians and to make them actually feel as if their regime could be imperiled the longer this crisis persists.
30 seconds. Yesterday, there was a report from Beirut that Hezbollah had emptied its offices, including the computers were out. Is that a strong signal or a weak one? Do they do that routinely when the weather turns, something like that?
I don't think so. I think they're preparing for quite a blow up. The Israelis, by the way, I heard also started removing art from some of their museums in Tel Aviv. There does seem to be right now a sense that crisis is imminent. Right. And that continues to be the concern across the region.
Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,